I believe I spelled the word collapse correctly. If I didn't, please let me know. I'd like to speak this evening to us, just kind of pass something by us that I trust will be a challenge and an encouragement to all of us. I know the word collapse sounds like consequence, and it is a consequence, but I hope the perspective that we take on it this evening will be a something that will be uplifting and not condemning to us. We talked this morning about asking us what we were building, asking if we were building a spiritual structure that would be able to hold up, and if we were putting the right materials into our minds and our hearts and our lives to be able to have a viable structure with that had integrity. I'm not a person that stays up on all of the news. My wife shares stuff with me because she's heard it on the radio or read it somewheres, and it's like, sorry, I didn't know anything about that. And so this week, one of those things happened. She asked me, did you hear about the building that collapsed in Florida? And she said, I talked to a sister down there in the Miami congregation and asked, it's like 45 minutes from their house or something like this. So some of y'all that pay more attention to the news than I do, you already know about this building, that at least a portion of it. I had to do a little research this afternoon, 27-story building that fell down. And I don't know how old the structure was. I didn't find that out. What's that? Okay, so it's less than 40 years old. But I did read that there's some areas that they haven't made a full investigation, but there's some areas that could have contributed to that building's collapse. One of them was some concrete. It's a concrete and steel construction, and some of the concrete had maybe developed some cracks from, I don't know why, or concrete just always cracks. That's just the way it is. But anyway, the concrete had deteriorated, and the way it was designed, water stood on the concrete and was leaching out the calcium chloride or whatever is in the concrete and causing it to weaken further, and there was rebar that was exposed in there. And about 3 years ago, someone had discovered that and told them that needed to be addressed. They'd made some repairs, but they weren't adequate. And so I was thinking about that in conjunction to our thought this evening, and I'd like for us to turn over to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and read a familiar passage at the end of our Sermon on the Mount. Jesus kind of ended this in the book of Matthew, or Matthew's account. And he says in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. All familiar with this little account. And Jesus had gave a lot of instruction in the Sermon on the Mount. He gave a lot of explanation. Most likely it was at the earlier part of his ministry. Most likely it was not in Jerusalem. It was probably over around the Sea of Galilee. And as he shared these thoughts and the advice on how to pray and the Beatitudes and all of those things that we look on as things that maybe some of them we've learned and committed to memory. He comes right down to the end and he said, if you hear these things that I'm teaching, if you will listen to them, You'll be like a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Well, my wife told me that this place in Florida had been sinking like 2 millimeters or 2 centimeters a year. I don't know what they're comparing it to, but, you know, I'm kind of small-minded when it comes to understanding structures and all that. I know if something is sinking, that would cause concrete to crack if one side was sinking. And I also know that, you know, there's just, you can just sink so much before something is going to give way. And so I done a little, another little research I done was about St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. And back in the 1500s, early 1500s, when that structure was started, it was under construction for about 120 years. And when they first started it, they the footing for some of those columns is over 25 feet deep. And they dug it loose and lifted it up, the dirt out with baskets and pulleys and ropes and a basket, let it down in there. And I've heard that that place is sinking too. And if you look at it, there's enough rock stacked there in one place that it ought to sink. I mean, it's got to be really, really heavy. It's got, you know, it would have to be built on the rock. But Jesus said, if you'll pay heed, you'll be like someone that built his house on a rock. And I've shared this thought, the house I live in, I believe it's really, if it's not built on the bedrock, it's close to it. Because all of the doors, when I moved into it 16 years ago, the doors opened and closed nice and smooth. And 16 years later, it don't matter if the weather is dry or wet or hot or cold, the doors open and close just normal. And I moved from Oklahoma to here. And in Oklahoma, when the weather changed, you had to slot the door striker to the top and you had to slot it on the bottom to keep it to latch. The house, you just felt like it was on a trampoline or something. So I appreciate being built on something solid and something that doesn't move. And Jesus said in verse 25, he said, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That's what we want. We want the spiritual tabernacle and house. We read the scripture this morning where we're expected to know that our body is to be a temple for the Holy Ghost. And we want it, our life, to be built on solid principles so that as time goes on, that it doesn't collapse. It doesn't fall down. In verse 26, and he says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So we find the comparison here is one man built a house on a rock, the other one built it on sand. Sand is something that many people use to try to stabilize a heavy building. When we were in Germany a few years ago, I found out that they moved their topsoil. It was probably, I don't know, 24 or 30 inches thick of topsoil in that area. And they was at a building site briefly, and they removed that topsoil and they hauled in sand and they tamped and tamped and tamped the sand to make it solid. And then they built their house upon that. But the sand was encapsulated by the topsoil and all of that. It wasn't where it was exposed. But I want us to think about the anatomy of collapse. You know what the anatomy is? It's the little pieces that make something up. You know, our body is also referred to as our anatomy. And we have all kinds of different pieces that's visible. We all of us here, as far as I know, we have fingers on our hand and toes on our feet and ears and eyes and all of those things that are visible to others. But we have components that's working in harmony within our anatomy. It's all made up, very complex. And we know that if our anatomy begins to deteriorate, if you have an accident and lose part of your anatomy, then you're handicapped in your ability to perform and how you're able to function. So just as we would be cognizant and thinking about what we put in to our spiritual man to build up something that would be able to withstand the fiery darts of the enemy and be able to withstand all of the attacks that come against us, we have to realize that on the other side, that there is a potential for there to be collapse. The people that built that building in Florida, I'm sure, didn't build it with a 34-year lifespan and say, well, you know, be a good 30, 35 years and then part of it will fall off. They never intended for that to happen. Even if there was a contractor that cut corners and didn't do his job correctly, the people that was paying to have the building built never intended for that. I'm just very confident that they didn't build that building with the intent of it collapsing. There's lives been lost. There's people that's missing and unaccounted for. And it's something that's almost unheard of in our United States because there's a lot of building codes that has to be met. There's a lot of specifications that have to be adhered to. And we think of a spiritual man now, and we want to consider the anatomy of collapse. Jesus said real simply, if you don't listen, if you don't take heed to the things that I've said, if you hear them and don't apply them in your life, you'll be like a man that builds his house on the sand. So I'd like for us to think briefly about what that sand looks like. I know there's different grades of sand, and some sand is, I guess, somewhere along the line, sand gets fine enough that it would be considered dust instead of sand anymore. But I grew up in the Boot Hill of Missouri, and we had a lot of sand, we called it. And the sand was really like dust. It was really, really fine. The water, if it rained, the water would drain through the soil. It wasn't sticky, no clay at all down there. But it wasn't coarse like sand that you would go and buy a bag of play sand to put in the something the children would play with or anything like that. It was really, really fine. It was the soil that they grew their crops in. But I'd like to turn over here to Proverbs, the 24th chapter. And as we're thinking about the man that built his house on the sand, and why is it that, was it the first storm that came? It kind of sounds that way. But I wonder, how many storms did it take before the house fell? How many winds did it take before the house? Maybe there was a time that the sand looked like it was shifting around the house. I wonder what they did then. Let's look in Proverbs 24, beginning in verse 30. He says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So what's our first clue here? Someone's not staying on top of things. I went by the field of the slothful. He says, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Did all that happen overnight? I venture it didn't. It didn't happen with one storm. It didn't happen with one rain. It didn't happen because there was some thistle seed got sprinkled on there, and overnight we had brambles that grew up that were covering the whole face of the... You know, have you ever thought about what causes the mortar and the rocks to come out of a stone or a masonry wall that has, you know, those vines that grow up on there, those little roots that get a hold of something? And every time they get a hold of something, they just wedge their little root in a little deeper and a little deeper, and it crumbles just a little bit, and it can go a little deeper and crumble a little more. And before you know it, maybe it takes 50 years, but all of a sudden there's a rock, there's a brick, there's something that falls out of the wall. And if it, what, I had a, at my house, I have a, or had a, what was that thing? It was a vine that was growing up by the corner of my house. The people in the South say you don't want that at all. My wife liked the color of the blossoms. Purple flower kind of hangs down. Wisteria, that's what it was. We didn't get very many wisteria blossoms, but we got a lot of vines. And it grew up, growed up the side of my house, got a hold of the gutter, and it went all the way up to the roof. And how did it get to the roof? Because I didn't cut it off the first time it laid over there against my gutter. And, you know, I'm afraid to get a hold of those old vines. I cut it off right at the bottom in the last year, dug up the wisteria vine and got it out of there. And I mow over it. Every time I mow, I want to cut it off. If it comes up, I'm going to trim him off because I want it to die. And those vines growing up the side of my house, they're all dead. But if I got a hold of them and pulled it off, it would take siding and my gutter and a bunch of other stuff off. It would not be pretty at all. And it's because I was slothful in that area and I let it grow up. And if I would have just let it keep going, it probably would have got underneath my shingles and it would have caused my shingles to come loose. And the next thing I would have known, I would have had a leak in my roof. So he said he went by the field of the slothful, and he saw this, his nettles grown up and the wall torn down. And he said, "Then I saw and considered it well. It'll do us good to consider, how is it that the house that's built on sand collapsed? How is it that this building collapsed in Florida? How is it that this wall got torn down? And how is it that this type of collapse happened? And why is it that people give up and quit trying to live for God? Why is it that that happens?" And the answer, I believe, is in paying attention. He says, "Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction." So tonight, I'd like for us to look on it and receive instruction. Did it happen overnight? No, but it might have. It happened over a lot of nights. Did it happen one day? Maybe the big collapse fell in one day, in just a matter of moments. There were people that apparently were asleep in bed when this building fell apart. And it can look like somebody just had a horrible failure in their life spiritually. How did it happen? Well, just listen. He said he received instruction. What does it say in verse 33? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. One that traveleth, or wondereth sometimes in some translations. Do we do the same? Wondering spiritually? Do you know where you're going? Do you know where you want to be? Or are we just wandering around? You know what happens when you wander around and you don't know where you want to go? You get lost. You won't get to the right destination. You'll just feel that your energy is used up and you become discouraged. You become discouraged because I didn't plan to get anywhere and I'm just stumbling around. And the house that I built, maybe years past, I put some good material in it, but I wasn't thinking about the foundation that I built on. And, you know, it's kind of like somebody asking how many drops of liquid is in a gallon. Anybody know? But you know, if you poked a little tiny hole in a jug and it dripped once a second, one drop per second, that the jug would get empty. It's not going to stay full and drip one drop per second. You know, if something moved one grain of sand a day, did you know there comes a time when the building's going to collapse? There comes a day of being, from the result, a little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands. Just as we have to consciously think about what's the material I'm putting in to my building, we have to think about what the enemy is trying to steal away. What is he trying to wash off in our everyday life? What's he trying to dilute? What's he trying to grind up to where it's not a good material anymore? You know, that coarse sand will pack a lot better than stuff with real fine dust in it. If it's got real fine dust in it, you can pack it and pack it, and then you can pack it some more. But if you get it without the sand, without the dust in there, it packs a lot better, a lot more stable. And the enemy wants to take our building material and grind it up so fine that it won't be stable. And it becomes a cavity and not a support under us. So he said, how does it happen? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. So just as this morning we wanted to think about what are we putting into our spiritual man and our spiritual structure. The intent is that our body, our person, would be a temple that would glorify God, that His Holy Spirit would be willing and able to dwell with us. And we would put the building materials in place that would cause that relationship to prosper. But on the other hand, we need to consider what can be washed away. What am I making compromises on? Or what is the enemy wanting us to make compromises on that'll cause an eventual collapse? I know that there are times when we have catastrophic things, when the airplanes flew into the Twin Towers in New York. That was a catastrophic event. And it led to a series of failures. Things were compromised because of that tremendous impact, and it brought the whole buildings down. And we can see failure because of tremendous impact, and that's not my burden tonight. My burden tonight is, let's be aware. The devil is going about seeking whom he may deceive, seeking whom he can undermine, seeking whom he can pull out a little sand. I read a story one time about some fellas that tunneled out I don't know if it was a concentration camp, it was some kind of prison camp, and they dug a tunnel through the sand from the center of their compound to the outside, and there was like two or three of them that actually escaped to tell the story about it. By little, they carried the pan, they carried the dirt out under a disguise. They dug with their hands and little improvised tools and used wash basins on a string to slide it back and forth in their tunnel while they was digging. And, you know, the enemy is like that. He'd like to take a little handful of your sand, of your foundation, just fill his pockets full of your integrity and your purpose, and fill his pockets full of something that's your sincerity and your determination and your stick with it, if you want to think of it that way. He would like to fill his pockets with a little bit of that and disappear with it. And he'll go empty his pockets and come back for a little bit more and a little bit more. And eventually, there'll be collapse. It'll come. And somebody will say, how did that happen? When I hear of a building like that collapsing, I would like, surely there had to be some warning signs. And maybe there was. Apparently there was. Surely there's some warning signs for us today. So do we have any warning signs? Do we have anything? I just want to encourage us to inspect our footings. I have another neighbor lives up the road about a half a mile from me, and I noticed here a few years ago, those of you that's drove T-post in, you know that you drive the T-post in until the blade kind of disappears in the ground. And I noticed that along his fence up there, along his driveway, that all of his T-posts, the blade on the T-post was up above the ground level. I mean, you could see the whole blade. So I asked him one day, I said, Larry, I said, what happened to your post out there? And he said, my wife don't like to weed eat, so she sprays around all the T-posts so that she can mow. And over the years, you spray around the T-post, and guess what happens? It rains, and it washes the dirt away. And you keep spraying the grass, and you keep washing the dirt away, and it looks like the T-post come up out of the ground, but that's not what happened. The ground around it has been eroded away. And I don't know if he drove his post in. I haven't paid too much attention in the last year or so, but this couple years ago, it looked like his fence was in danger of falling over. And you know, we can get that way spiritually, where our fence is, our posts look like they're coming out of the ground. And really, maybe we're cutting a corner somewheres. I'm talking to me too tonight. We can cut a corner spiritually and allow the enemy to erode a little by little away into where collapse is inevitable. And then others looking on will say, wonder what happened. Why did they fail? Why is it that they weren't successful long term? And it's because we heard, but we didn't take heed as much as we should have. We didn't cut the vines off that was growing up on our wall, so to speak. We didn't take care of the grass and the weeds when they started. Or maybe we didn't handle them in the right way, and it caused our soil, our foundation, to be eroded. I heard someone say one time that people don't get distracted. Let me see if I can say this right. They don't become unhappy and then become distracted. People are unhappy because they're distracted. You hear what I said? People don't become distracted because they're unhappy. They become unhappy because they're distracted. We can become unspiritual. We can become, if we allow ourselves to be distracted in our spiritual man, collapse will be inevitable. Probably won't happen tomorrow. Probably won't happen next week. But give it a year, you'll see some changes. Give it 6 months, give it 5 years, give it 10 years, and then what about a generation? And there'll be real collapse if we don't pay attention. So I want to challenge us tonight. Be encouraged. Keep up the daily routine. Study to show yourself approved. Apply yourself to having a good, solid relationship with the Lord. You think that's easy for me? I'm just like you are. It takes time. It takes commitment. And if I allow myself to become a slacker, my spiritual house will look like the field of the slothful. People will go by and say, well, I wonder what happened to him. But we got to take heed and learn from this situation. It's because there's a little sleeping, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And that's where the failure comes. That's where the collapse comes. It's not because a plane flew into you. It's not because you had a train wreck. It's because here a little, there a little. Instead of it being an accumulated asset, it was a deterioration until it was imminent that the whole thing fell in. Lord, help us all to be careful. You pray for me.